The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
What do you know about how to get beyond your mundane everyday thoughts? Do you understand how our thoughts create our reality in a real and practical way? Do you desire tools to help you live from another space, full of freedom and liberation from self-imposed limitation? You can create whatever it is you desire. Welcome to Create Your Best Life Ever with your host, Allison J.K. Get ready to receive clear information, tools, and healing presented by Allison and her guests to help you better know what else is possible.
Hello, 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 welcome. I'm so happy you guys are here and checking this one out. We have a really special guest today. We have Sir Jerry of Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream. Welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm heading up your way I'm pre-recording this here on Tuesday before I take my flight up to New Hampshire tomorrow, and I'm in the New England area close to you. Are you in Burlington?
I am just outside of Burlington.
So, Jerry, you have blessed us all with such yumminess for the last bunch of decades with your ice cream. But what seeing you talk at USF and being aware of some of your platform, your decision-making, your priorities behind your business and mentioning them in my book, What If There Is Nothing Wrong, I'd like to bring that part out of your work today because it's a little bit less known. And when you talked at USF, you talked about spiritualizing business. What do you want to jump into here and help our readers? Because we're starting a section on my radio show about the joy of business and bringing money and spirituality together instead of them being mutually exclusive as they have been for a couple of centuries now, seemingly.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think... For Ben and me, it's been a discovery. We started 35 years ago, you know, quite a few years ago. We were about 27 years old, and we started with a little homemade ice cream parlor in Burlington, Vermont, because we were failing at all the other things we were trying to do, and we thought, oh, we'll open up a little ice cream shop, and we'll do that for a couple of years, and then we'll go do something else. And so we took a correspondence course and how to make ice cream, and we opened up in this old abandoned gas station, and, you know, sort of we're having a really fun time, although we were... I would say struggling business-wise, and because the summers were so short in Vermont and the winters were so cold,
right.
The shop was having trouble, and we started to package the ice cream into pint containers to sell to grocery stores, and that kind of turned the business around. And after a few years, we found ourselves in the unusual position of being business people instead of just ice cream guys, and that was distressing to us because we had all these really negative feelings about business having grown up in the 60s and whatever, and we thought about getting out, and then decided we could stay in the business and try to make it something that was more supportive of communities and employees, not really knowing what that meant. And I think what we've been learning along the way is that for the business, as the business is more caring and concerned and more community-oriented, the more successful it becomes.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, and it's not to say that you don't still have to do all the other business elements well. You still have to make a really good product. You still have to have your distribution done correctly. You still have to pay your bills on time, things like that. Just because you're a good neighbor or a socially activist business doesn't give you a pass on all those other things. But what we found is that being more concerned about humans and less about maximizing profits really connects us with our customers and with our employees. It turns out that most people want to have interactions with businesses and corporations that have something of a soul.
That's a great way to put it. My God, Jerry, because one of the bottom lines I say in my book, and I brought you guys into the book because you're pioneers. So one of the things I talk about is it feels like after coming back from living in Asia for 10 years, America's lost its soul. And you guys being the pioneers during this socially responsible business way ahead of its time, because just now it's becoming somewhat, I don't want to use the word trendy, but it is. I mean, people are waking up to wanting to become more socially conscious. I have a load of clients who are coming out of the various sectors of the in various industries of the business world and wanting to unplug from that and do something that makes them feel better inside their body. A lot of them coming to me with anxious, ripped up stomachs. And Jerry, even just Sunday, I was sitting with my dad, who's recently retired out of the mutual funds world. And he would travel around the world looking at emerging markets and looking at the banks and how they were holding the capital for the mutual funds that Westerners were investing in these emerging markets in newly globalizing, modernizing countries. And I spent a good bunch of years questioning if I even agreed with what he did. And then as I traveled around the world, I realized that people appreciated clean water and sanitary conditions and realized that the money was actually helping. And then on Sunday, I spoke with him that I was going to be interviewing you and that there is more of a movement now to bring ethics and morality in feeling good inside the heart and body into the business world and with our associations with money. And he said he made this noise and had this face. And I said, can you imagine that? And, you know, he's coming out of the financial industry, you know, 2 years after the collapse, so and the bailout. So it was really eye-opening to even hear his response. But then we got into the conversing about how there's more people wanting to buy organic and how the cars that are coming out are smaller and more fuel efficient. So he's seeing the trends. But you guys were way ahead of the curve.
Well, you know, I think Ben & Jerry's was among a group of businesses, I don't know, 30 years ago that were starting to feel their way along this pathway. Patagonia was one of the companies, Stonyfield Farm Yogurt. You know, so there was a small contingent of companies, the Body Shop out of the UK. And, you know, it was a little different for businesses. These particular companies were very entrepreneurial, somewhat founder-driven, so they really followed the values of the people that started them. But, you know, one thing that hasn't really changed, and I sort of know this because it's something I was feeling years ago, and when I go out and speak today, it's the same thing. People are wondering, can you find a way to earn a living and still do something that you feel good about, that is connected with your values? And, you know, as I said, this has been going on for years and years. People struggle with it because you want meaning in your life and you don't want it just to come from something outside of work. You know, we spend, I don't know how many hours a day at work, but it's certainly the majority of our waking hours. And you don't want to be doing something that is detached from your beliefs and then, you know, go home and be involved in your family and your community and whatever spiritual practice you have, and have that be where you connect with your beliefs, but the majority of the time you're disconnected.
Well, that's the historical split, though, realistically, hey?
Yeah, and you know, within the business world, for example, there was always this feeling that if you wanted to do some good, you did it in the nonprofit world,
where
you were mission-based. But if you were in the business world, your mission was to maximize profits. It wasn't even to just make a decent living. It was to make as much as you could. That's kind of the mantra of big business and large public companies. And I think that's where one of the really difficult problems for people is that you're not even thinking about doing good at all. You're thinking about making as much money as you can. That's kind of the trade-off. And I think one of the things that Ben and I have been experiencing is that there are ways to combine making money and also trying to be of benefit to the community within a business context. I think the conventional thinking is that you can't really do it within the business context. You have to do it in the nonprofit context.
Yep.
And to find ways to do both of those things, first of all, it's very powerful, but it's a little bit of something that we don't normally think goes together. And so to try to think of those things is difficult. But if you can change your mindset to thinking about combining business with combining doing good things in the world, there's a lot of opportunities to do it. And the whole field of social enterprise, which is coming up, which are businesses designed specifically to address social or environmental issues, is proving that you can do that.
But Jerry, we've been under the assumption that if we are to make money, and that is our bottom line, and that is our driving purpose, we don't do that by being socially responsible. They're mutually exclusive. If we're socially, like you're saying, if we are socially responsible, we are enough. We are about money. We are a business. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And I think that's conventional thinking. And I don't know how it came to be the conventional thinking.
Right?
Because it is, everybody accepts it. And, you know, some of these entrepreneurial ventures that I mentioned earlier on, say the Body Shop or Patagonia, Stonyfield, these were started by founders who to their everlasting credit, they are people who don't accept conventional thinking. I mean, Ben, my dear partner, is anti-authoritarian in nature. He rejects all of conventional thinking, and I know the Anita and Gordon Roddick from the Body Shop were like that. Judy Wicks from the White Dog Cafe in Philadelphia. They challenge all these so-called assumptions. And, you know, for Ben, there's nothing he likes better than to be told there's something he can't do, because that's very motivating to him. Having said all that, it still is difficult for people to find those ways of earning a living that connects with your values. You can start a business if you want, and you know that it helps if you have certain qualities or characteristics that make you want to do that. It's a little tougher to fit into other businesses, because most of them don't have that mission. So you have to look carefully to find other businesses around, and just be a little more picky, I guess. I mean, they're out there, but They don't tend to be big businesses because in this particular area, big businesses are not leading the way. They might follow and they'll respond to customer demands for businesses being more attentive to social issues and environmental issues.
But don't you think, how do you think this assumption got started? That if we're going to make money, we're not going to care about doing good, or feeling good?
I think it's with the rise of the corporation, the limited liability corporation. I mean, in the old days, businesses were, you know, little neighborhood community businesses, and the people who owned them lived in the neighborhoods, and the people they served were their neighbors, and they had direct connections with them. And then with the rise of corporations, the owners didn't necessarily live in the towns. They didn't have those connections with the communities. They didn't have the same connections with their employees. The business became kind of a thing as opposed to something that they were personally involved in with their customers and employees. And I think at that point there became this separation, this distance between what you feel as a person and the connection you have as a person to other people and what you were doing for the good of the corporation, which was this faceless, nameless entity that was just this legal shell that stood for something else, but it wasn't really about people.
Yeah, that feels about right. So then what's going on now seems like there's more of an ever-increasing demand for some ethics and morality at the corporate level, and it actually seems like the grassroots swell, which is completely what I go into in my book, is getting big enough that corporations might start to respond. Because if you look at the upsurge of all the new businesses, like you were mentioning earlier, what about at the corporate level? Do you see it, the consumer demand for some more ethics and morality and goodness within where they buy their products from? Do you see it shifting?
Yeah, yet? I do. You know, particularly with the you know, what I would call the younger generation of people coming up, because I'm, you know, Ben and I we're sort of in the old guard now. We're moving on and passing things along. But you know, for the generation now that's steeped in social media and you know, they don't buy into corporate hype and they don't buy into mass advertising and kind of mass media and television. They're much more into social media, and what social media demands is authenticity and genuineness. And you know, that's not something that big corporations are typically very good at. They're usually very good at advertising and creating an image that they can then communicate to their potential customers. And, you know, an image is very different from something that is genuine and authentic. And so I think big companies now are kind of scrambling to figure out how to become more authentic and more genuine, because that's what the culture is about now. And you know, businesses want to continue to be financially successful, and they will hopefully figure that out. You know, it's a little bit ironic, because back when Ben and Jerry's started, we called our company Ben and Jerry's after the guys who started it, because we wanted to let people know that there were real human beings involved, and we were the guys who were making the ice cream, and we were standing behind it. And I mean, whoever would have guessed that something that we did 35 years ago would now be, as you said, sort of trendy, wanting to be genuine and real. We couldn't think of anything else to be except genuine and real. We weren't smart enough to come up with an image. You need money, and you need an advertising agency or a marketing agency to come up with an image, and we just had ourselves.
You had an image. When I was in California and I was a political consultant, and it was the Clinton Gore 92 election season, you were at events like the Crescent Hills National Young played in a voter registration drive gig, and Ben and Jerry's ice cream was served there. You had a progressive image. Everybody knew you were progressive because you were at those events with your product. That's why
yeah,
I got
we try to be out there. You know, one of the issues that Ben and Jerry is involved in now is labeling for food products that have GMOs in them, and so the company is publicly supporting mandatory labeling. We were supporting a proposed bill in Vermont and one in Connecticut, and there's an initiative coming up in Washington State in the fall of this year that Ben and Jerry's is going to be supporting and scooping ice cream and having some billboards and things like that.
You've done that throughout the years, though, Jerry, yeah? I mean, that's who you are.
Yeah,
isn't it?
You know what, and, you know, most businesses don't really take issues because they don't want to alienate any of their potential customers, and so they don't really stand for anything. They just stand for making money. And what we've always found is that the company was founded on basic values of fairness and decency and equal rights for people. And so sometimes the company does things that not everybody likes, but we do it because it's the right thing to do, and it helps us connect more deeply with our employees and our customers who share those values. I mean, you know, the company has been supportive of marriage equality for years and has been outspoken about that, and that's a pretty controversial issue, and yet the company has not shied away from that. It's not that Ben & Jerry's wants to alienate anyone or I don't know, just upset anyone, but it's a matter of human rights and civil rights for us, and so we need to stand up and be counted.
And I would suggest that isn't that part of your success, is that you have taken a stand, and people like me who are aligned with the issues you speak out and support for. We're like, yeah, we get the support. You know, Ben and Jerry's, let's eat more ice cream. Good for them.
I think it has been part of the success of Ben and Jerry's. It's, you know, it's one of those things that's not really possible to measure. And, you know, certainly when I go out and talk to people, most people don't really have specific ideas about what the company does. They may have some generalized feeling that Ben & Jerry's tries to side with human issues as opposed to corporate issues, but they couldn't tell you any specific thing the company does, and they can much more easily tell you about their favorite flavors. You know, people will talk for a long time about Cherry Garcia or Chunky. And so, you know, as I said, they have this generalized feeling that the company is doing good things, but nothing specific. And yet, if the company didn't make great ice cream, no matter how many wonderful things Ben and Jerry's did, I don't think people would buy it. You have to do it all. You have to stand for good things, but you still have to, you got to make fish food really good.
Yeah, New York Super Chunk Fudge all the way. And then
yes, there you go. It's chunky, it's fudgy, it's got it all.
And it's got
so what are you going to be doing up in New Hampshire?
Well, I'm doing a bunch of workshops, healing workshops and yoga workshops on the chakras, and I feel like that's the way that it's easier for people to understand the mind-body connection, and then book signings.
Uh-huh. Well, that's great. It'll be nice to have you up in New England.
Thank you. I hail from Boston, from about half an hour south of Boston. My alma mater for my undergraduate is UMass Amherst, and I love that region.
There
it's such
right.
progressiveness. Say?
It's a wonderful place.
Yeah, Jerry, your bottom line has been helped or hurt by caring about people.
I would say it's been helped. You know, as I said, it's a little hard to measure. The company does a social audit every year and has been doing that since 1988. And so the social audit is right next to the financial audit in our reports, and we take it very seriously. It's not always perfect. We have areas that we need to work on, like everyone else. But I do think that we have customers who connect with the company on the basis of shared values, and that is a very deep connection. And so I'm absolutely sure the company has been helped by this caring, progressive approach to business. It's not to say that it's the only way to do business. You can be successful at business in any number of ways, and you can see all sorts of models out in the business world, whether it's, IBM or, you can pick any number of businesses, and they all have different ways of doing things, and you can be a real cutthroat business that can be very successful also, but The message for me is that if you do have values, if you do have strong social, spiritual values, and you want to integrate them into your business, you can do it and be at least as successful as you would have been if you didn't do it. And that, that to me is the so-called bottom line. You don't have to abandon your values simply because you're going to be in business.
So, Jerry, what would you say to my dad's surprise that money and ethics and morality would be involved in business and dealings with money?
What would I say to your dad's surprise?
There's no way that's possible.
It's not obvious at first blush because, it's not the way we typically look at things, but there are spiritual laws, and even though you can't prove them and you can't see them in front of your face every day, the idea that as you help others, you are helped in return, that is something that is accepted throughout the ages by all the great religious and spiritual leaders. It's a spiritual law. The good that you do comes back to you. We're all interconnected. These are all the spiritual laws that have gone on for thousands and thousands of years, and why should it not be true for business as well as the rest of our lives?
Well, we seem to have been, that's the most beautiful answer, Jerry, and it seems like we have believed that with our minds figuring stuff out and the ability and talent of our intellects, we've been able to create these businesses and tangible goods that have made us feel maybe more powerful than perhaps these invisible spiritual laws.
It's possible.
Yeah.
All possible.
Sir, I thank you so much for yourself and your time today and your compassionate understanding in the mix-up yesterday and just being you in the world. We need you.
It's great talking with you, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, sir. Have a brilliant day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Greek yogurt's the newest one, right?
Yes. Lots of new flavors.
You have billboards up here in Tampa and trucks around here in Tampa and L.A., I noticed, for the Greek yogurt flavor. So
all
I'm
right.
going to give you a blurb. Have a great day, Jerry. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, y'all. So here we go. The spiritual laws ended up getting mentioned as possibly the trump card behind what we deem as business laws, and perhaps what we could say is human laws. Okay, so I am wanting to give you guys in the New England area the ability to contact me, come to the workshops, get some healing, get some instruction for yourself about how you can have more vitality, more happiness, more love, more abundance, more ease and joy and comfort in your body, because that's what we're going to be doing in all these different workshops. None of them are pure book signings except for one that's just at an indie bookstore, and that's for free, and that's in New Paltz, New York. So go to AllisonJK.com, and the upcoming events will show you the tour schedule. So I start with my first event in Braintree at a yoga studio on Friday night, the 31st of May. And then I'm up there in Scituate on Saturday for a workshop on the chakras and theta healings for the chakras and some access consciousness with that. And then on Sunday, I'm there for individual sessions. So if you're in the Scituate area and you want to do a one-on-one with me, I welcome it. It's been phenomenal. And it always is, the sessions with me, but in the last couple of weeks, I have just blasted to a whole new level. My last session before this call was just, my client hadn't been to me, and she's dropped down to once a month, and she was like, oh, my God! Every part of my body is tingling. So, yeah, I'd welcome to meet some new people. And if you can't do the one-on-one, check out where the workshops are. I'll be over in Western Mass at 3. Just check out the AllisonJK.com. It's 1L, and then J, and then K-A-Y.com. And upcoming events. And then one more thing. There's if you want newness in your life, if you want release from self-imposed limitations, if you just have that sense that you need some help to move forward, or you just want to make it better for yourself, or you want to look into the question, unraveling it in your life with how does it get any better than this? What else is possible? You might want to check out, and I'm not going to usually make this available on my radio show, I have a special offer page that's still up from the telesummit that I was just on last Friday, and I'm going to let you guys in on it. So if you've listened all the way through, AllisonJK.com/special offer. Check that out. Every week I'm going to be doing theta healing calls with the group. So when you show up on the call, I'm going to plug into your field and clear you out. And it is really my client's most favorite way. Of the 6 different modalities that I use, they feel reprogrammed, they feel lighter. One woman went home and slept last night all night long. We cleared out such a huge jugular vein of a trauma. She's all lively today. It's fantastic work in the response that my clients have to it. It really moves a lot of energy. So if you want to really lighten up in any area of your life, because we'll cover them all, I have no agenda. It's not like the chakras. In that recording and that workshop's up on my website now, too, if you want to check that out. Where if you're concentrating on a specific chakra, there's theta healings for each chakra there for purchase, and then there's the whole package if you're interested. But I really, there's just so much available for us to lighten up, and there's so much support. The massive solar flares, for example, that have been going on in the last couple of weeks with the lunar eclipse with this full moon this past Friday is just apparently releasing massive potential for us to have more of what we desire, and it doesn't have to not look the way that we want it to. I mean, it doesn't always usually show up the way that we expect it to when we're asking for something or praying for something or focusing, not with our minds figuring it out, but we're holding our intention on creating something in our lives. We let the universe bring it in with ours taking the steps and necessary actions. It usually doesn't look the way that we want it to, but it seems like that's even changing. So there is part of the energy of the solar flares is for us to have a quicker ability to manifest what we are desiring. So our thoughts are creating our reality, as always, and as I've talked about on so all of these shows, it's what they're all about. I mean, Jerry today mentioned, I don't know when that assumption was made, that the two are mutually exclusive, business and money, you can't have your heart involved there, or well-being or goodness involved there, that they're mutually exclusive. And it was an assumption made at some point, yeah? So last week, for instance, Moore left with the assumption about the UN's report on hunger and that wasn't actually what was going on and how to reframe it. Like, just more care nowadays being taken with our thoughts, our perceptions, and the way we frame stuff because of the reality that does ensue. All of my work is focused on clearing out those hidden conclusions and hidden beliefs. So really, life is not happening to you. You are in the driver's seat, my friends. And on that note, so many blessings, much love. Have the best weekend ever! AllisonJK.com/special offer. Come play. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for tuning in to Create Your Best Life Ever featuring Allison J.K. Please join us again next Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. Now, enjoy your weekend and start making positive changes today. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit 7thWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.